Well, thank you for the opportunity to bring some of our Canadian research. Usually we get bundled as a poster in the nether regions somewhere. So for those of you familiar with soybean, this is pea. And pea, we grow a lot of it. It's a dry land crop. And pea, I like to term as the soybean crop of the north. So just a little rationale for you. Pea generally has two flowers per node, and I've got a picture here with a lower shoot and then six flowering nodes that I've pulled off a plant. And if all goes well, both of those flowers will be set to pods, but generally we get a level of flower abortion. And a pea aborts flowers quite readily when temperatures are high, for example 32 degrees Celsius in the literature, and we can take up to 20-25% yield losses, surprisingly, in a cool place like Canada. And so one of our aims is to try and improve heat resistance in pea and to look for some heat resistant traits. And this presentation is really our attempt at unpacking some canopy traits which may help us with cooling. There's a Spanish paper in the literature which was really looking for a genotypic variation for drought resistance. And if you look within the paper, you'll find that they've looked at wax, and they also show a correlation with the more wax, the lower the canopy temperature. So this was one of our starting points. For a source of heat resistance, we took our pea mapping panel. So this is just a diverse collection with some of our genotypes, probably about 15 of ours, and then representative genotypes from around the world, including Australia, East and West Europe. And we put them into Arizona, where we have our winter nurseries. And the second or a late seeding set, we deliberately timed so that flowering would occur from 28 degrees Celsius up to 41. And I went to Arizona to look at them in 41 degrees, and surprisingly we did find that some genotypes either acclimated or were able to continue flowering and setting pods at these super high temperatures. Well, that sounds great. Well, why don't we just cross with those? But it looks that things are maybe a little bit more complex than that. So we took the mapping panel. We've looked at it at various locations in Saskatchewan as well as out of the country, and in 2013, we started looking at wax and pigments following the Sanchez paper. And I'll be the first to admit 94 genotypes with many reps at many locations is too much for physiology. So we wound it down to selecting maybe 16 more representative genotypes to cover the diversity, and then move that up to 24 this year. I mean, otherwise, we're just looking at redundant genotypes without knowing what measurements are maybe more accurate or better measurements to get us further much quicker. So just to cover off some of the traits, we have indeterminacy, a vining versus an upright habit, and the upright habit is really tagged to a leaf mutation, the aphylla or semi-leafless trait, which is used quite widely in pea cultivars. And additionally, looking at wax cuticle, that's the bloom and epicon method, chlorophyll and various pigments. And just to show you a scan of two different kinds of leaves, the wild type is the entire leaf, so you have a central petiole with basal stipules. Those would be right here, and then you have two or three sets of leaflets, and then the equivalent leaflets that would be naturally reduced to tendrils. And the semi-leafless right here would still have your basal stipules, and then everything else has been I guess mutated, lack of expansion, where you just get stipules. I mean, not stipules, just tendrils. In addition, we have some toys that we take to the field. So we have a SPAD meter for greenness. We bought a spectral radiometer, 300 to 1100 nanometer range, and this gives us various vegetative indices, which maybe we can correlate those with some useful traits. Canopy temperature, which we use some Everest infrared thermometers. And in addition, we've got some very small thermocouples that we put into the apices of the plant. For anybody interested in the indices, I just listed them below. So I've got 9 sets of results slides coming up, but they're sort of in groups of 3, so I don't have to train you too much. The first is just to visually look at some of the genotypes and petiole and leaflet wax, and generally the more petiole wax that you see on petioles and tendrils are really associated with the semi-leafless. And you get the opposite effect when you look at the lamina or the leaflet stipule. So you get more wax shown with the old-fashioned wild-type entire leaf. So those are fairly clear, but there is a range. And the SPAD readings show you that the higher ranges there are really dark green or more bluish-type canopies, and then the entire bright green leaves that you see from, say, Western Europe genotypes, those would have the lowest SPAD meters, and they sit towards the base of that graph. So I went through the mapping panel and then our smaller grouping, our subset of it, and I thought, well, maybe an easier way to show you this would just be to pick out the traits by contrast statements. So green versus blue, entire versus semi-leafless, and then the plant habit vining versus upright. And you see the typical blue-type canopies go along with the semi-leafless canopy, and they're all significantly different from its other pair. And vining canopies also tend to have maybe less wax compared to the upright. You see the opposite effect with leaflets and or the lamina, and then the organ wax, which is both of those together. Really, the winners are the blue canopies and, surprisingly, the semi-leafless trait, which is fortunate for us because we don't want to put leaves back onto pea plants. And you can also see significant differences picked up with the little SPAD meter too. And for canopy temperature, I was a bit of a loss as to how to express this. It could be actual canopy temperature. I chose to do the canopy by air temperature difference. In 2013, we didn't really have very much heat, although we do see significant differences. And in 2014, middle of August and onwards, we start getting 28 degrees where we get significant heat stress, and you can see that the blue canopy and the semi-leafless canopy and the upright canopies tend to be cooler, but the lodging effect is a little bit more difficult to show depending on the winds that we have received through the plots. Anyone who's interested in vegetative indices, and this slide I put in for you, this is this year's data from the spectral radiometer, and really the take-home points are there are a whole slew of these different indices that are almost empirical, and so it behooves us to correlate that with some of the real measurements, the actual pigment measurements, but we can see that the green-red ratio can pick up entire versus semi-leafless. The green NDVI can do the same thing. Red-green can be useful for green versus blue, and the PRI index seems to be useful all the way through that. If you've ever wondered exactly what the spectral reflectance readings look like, I put 3 slides up coming here, and essentially what I have depicted is CDC Golden, which is semi-leafless, and it's one of our best cultivars from Canada, but still shows heat stress. And Napanic, which is the very best heat-resistant cultivar from Arizona in the mapping panel, is from Eastern Europe, and that has got an entire leaf and tends to be brighter green and maybe with a lower but inducible wax load. And really what you can see from this is that if you compare the actual blade of the stipule between them, you can see that CDC Golden, that would be the green one, has actually got maybe more wax on it, and it's actually reflecting more heat, it's absorbing less, and that's particularly noticeable in this region right here. And CDC Golden, if you want to just look at the stipule effect versus the tendril, you can see that the tendrils maybe have got this high wax load because you don't get the expansion into a leaf blade. So all good results for our pea breeder. Makes him very happy that we don't have to put leaves back on the crop. And Napanic, I put this slide in just to show you, if we remove the wax with chloroform, that you're actually seeing an increase. Back up right here, you can actually see a change in the profile all the way along, but specifically here. So the wax is definitely a trait that's one of our first level traits that we want to go for, and possibly go after the pigments too. So just to give you our summary slide here, there's significant trait differences in the PAM, and we still have to unpack them all, but we can see differences in SPAD, which is our proxy for pigment, wax, canopy temperature, and various vegetative indices. And increased wax is generally associated with our semi-leafless types, and maybe some of the genotypes or cultivars that are dark green in color. If you have a P genotype that's bright green with the entire normal leaves, then there's a tendency there to perhaps absorb more heat that we can see, at least from the infrared data. And then lodged canopies, which is opposite to my previous speaker. So these would be our prostrate or canopies that are sort of on the floor, or they've been folded or blown over by the wind. These canopies tend to absorb more heat, even if it's just maybe half a degree to 1 degree Celsius. And I didn't show you any data with that, but there's an ARVI and a water band where you can pick up those differences too with that vegetation index set. And obviously we need to maybe troll a little bit more on the leaf size, leaf shape, boundary layer resistances in forthcoming research. And so with that, that's really all we have time for. And so I'll leave you to gaze at cold stress. Our eight dog team there for you to look at.
Yeah, we have time for questions.
You mentioned that you measured the floral bud temperatures as well with the microthermocouple.
Yes.
So did you see any difference between the canopy temperature and the floral bud temperature?
I believe that the floral bud temperature is just a little bit cooler, but I'm hesitant to say too much about that. There's a significant range too, within some of the 16 or the 24 genotypes. Some of them actually have sort of maybe more nodes packed into the apical bud, and it's protected, at least two nodes are protected by the stipules. So there's likely some kind of buffering effect that's going to happen there. Yes, sir.
Did you look at the area? The more the area you have more radiated surface or that? Or
we haven't, but we're planning to do an energy balance on a large field just to get a clue on that. But at least for when we were looking at the wax, those scanned pictures that you saw, we've just got individual leaf areas. We could factor it up because we have complete node counts throughout the season, but we could go out with light interception and get an estimation of that. It's a very good idea. Thanks. Yes, Dooley.
You mentioned about the wax. Could you give a little more detail about how to extract the wax? Also, I saw the unit is a milligram. That means milligram per
leaf.
Unit.
This is per leaf. This was per leaf. The wax extraction method, I believe, is from, it's either early 1980s or 1970s, I believe it's an Israeli method. It's Abercorn, Bloom, and maybe there's another author. It's widely used in plant breeding programs. In Europe, there's even a little tiny, if you're applying Metribuzin as a herbicide, you can do a quick wax extract. It's essentially a chloroform extract, and then you acidify it with virtually neat acid, and then it has potassium dichromate, and then it's put through a spec. So it's quite crude. And the other methods that I've seen in the literature are hexane extractions, where people have put them on the GC. Isbara.
Can you comment on, do you expect changes in the wax composition which might influence the kind of temperature?
I would imagine that there is, because the bluish hue that you can see from a distance on the more blue phenotypes, and for example Naponic, that bright green entire leafed genotype, has inducible wax. So it's likely that the East European germplasm, all of those cultivars together tend to be reasonably heat tolerant, so maybe, we just never know, maybe they're just able to induce high wax as well.
Okay, I think we need to move on to the next presentation. Thank you, Rose.